Hello and welcome into another edition of Second Amendment Radio here on FM News Talk 97.1. Tony Colombo here with my partner Aaron Tarlow, the owner of Southern Armory. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. How are you?
Your microphone
not
on.
Not on.
There it is.
All right, there we go.
That
took care of it.
Can't
Sorry,
blame
Chad.
Chad for that one.
It's all right, Chad. I'll hit the on button over here, buddy.
New producer Chad Ellis in the studio as well. Great to see you. How are you?
Pretty good. What's going on, Tony?
You know, can't complain.
He's a frat boy.
He is?
I am.
He is. Yeah. Look, he's got the shirt on.
Right? Oh, you do? Yeah.
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 Sorry.
Are you still in school?
I am.
You
I
are
graduate
so.
in May.
Very
May
good.
18th.
Oh. So you are an active frat boy, in Aaron's words.
Yeah.
An active.
Walking in, I'm like, you're a frat boy? Yeah. Uh-huh.
I remember those days. I was never in a frat.
I was not a frat
boy. I was around. I had many friends that were in frats.
I did have a couple buddies.
Around
that,
a lot.
We're in there, yeah.
It was a long time ago, though.
Yeah, I agree. Like, we're old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chad, you and I'll have a discussion off the air one day to see if it's the same as it used to be.
I'm sure it is.
Wonder if
I'm
it
pretty
is.
Sure it is.
Yeah, it probably is. It probably is. So welcome to Second Amendment Radio. On this show, we will talk about gun news. We'll talk about gun laws, Second Amendment rights, hunting, all of that great stuff surrounding firearms and the Second Amendment. And Aaron is an expert on all things gun-related because of the gun store. You are the owner of Southern Armory. Tell folks about Southern Armory.
Southern Armory, we're located at 9901 Watson Road, 1 mile east of 270 and 44, and southernarmory.com.
That's southernarmory.com.
There you go. It's early, I guess. So wrapping up September sales.
Yeah.
And Glocktober is coming up.
Glocktober's right around the corner, baby.
Man, yeah, stuff has been rolling in all this past week. Guns, sights, magazines, some promo items mm-hmm. for people to get in and buy the Glocks.
Mm-hmm.
We just got a big blue label order in. So if you are law enforcement, fire, EMS, or military active or retired credentialed, you qualify for blue label. And there's some other, you know, caveats in there too. Like if you're a prosecuting attorney and a judge and stuff. I think it's a judge. I have to double check on that.
Mm-hmm.
But you can kind of find out a little bit more, call the store and see if you qualify.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in public service of some sort, more than likely you do.
What kind of deals are we talking about on Glocks?
Lowest published price allowed.
Nice.
Per the Glock contract.
Nice.
So you are going to save on blue label like $100-something a gun. And on the retail side, I think like $30-$40 a gun.
You know, you don't have to go any trade secrets here, but what's how up? Does that work with if the basic Glock handgun is the Glock 19, correct?
The most popular.
Okay, most popular. Let's mm-hmm. just I'm just trying to isolate a specific gun. Mm-hmm. So, Glock 19 at Southern Armory or online or at a different gun store, why would the price be different?
Because we're selling it so we're contracted with Glock. We are a stocking dealer. We're a blue label dealer. So what that means is we deal in a lot of Glock, and B, we deal directly with Glock. So we've got Glock certified armors on staff. So if you break your Glock or have an issue with a Glock, you bring it in. Actually, I was doing a site install yesterday, and it was a guy that my buddy did my sights. Oh, okay. And they fell off. So I'm like, oh, that's weird. Well, he brings it in, and wife, Jess, goes, hey, he needs it back by this week, and he wants to go shooting. I'm like, okay, you know, I'll throw it at the top. It's just a simple site deal, you know, no big deal. So I go ahead and start looking at it, and the guy did not install them correctly, obviously, because they fell off. but I look at the front sight and, you know, not installed correctly. It was canted a little bit, plus it was loose. He didn't tighten it all the way. He didn't use any Loctite. You prep the surface. I use alcohol to remove all the grease and oil, so that way the Loctite actually sets up.
Mm-hmm.
And then I use a micrometer, and I put that front sight dead center, no cant. You know, I take measurements on all four sights. And then I go over to the rear sight, and you fit that. There's a little bit of filing involved. And there's a technique for filing. You can use... And I got a video on Southern Armory. You can go back. And I did a live stream. It was like, hey, this is how I'm taking material off. And I think it was actually on a precision site. Mm-hmm. And So with that being said, went ahead and fit his sight, prepped it, you know, alcohol, Loctite, tapped it in, and then took the micrometer and recentered it. And then I wiped everything down with alcohol to get the excess red Loctite off. And then they got it set up for 24 to 48 hours. So I called the guy. I was like, yeah, you can come get it. And you probably could shoot it Saturday, but I would go Sunday if it was me.
Right.
So so we'll see. You know, I mean, you just want the Loctite to set up.
Right. But, absolutely.
So then I'm just, you know, it's a Glock. So, you know, of course, I'll just do a safety check on this guy's gun for him. Right. And so I, you know, rack slide and I try to press the trigger and the trigger is like crunchy. I'm like, well, that isn't right. And then it presses and then I rack it and then I go to reset it. And I was like, man, this feels really light, like really, really light. And so I rack it and I let it go. And there's like a little center bar on the Glock triggers that come out for safety. Does not come out. I'm like, huh, wonder what's going on here. So I start looking. I'm like, well, the trigger, you know, is a Glock part. Like I can look at it and be like, yep, that's the Glock, you know, style, whatever trigger. And kind of open it up and I look in there and, well, this bar's Glock and this is Glock and this is Glock. I wonder what's going on here. I wonder if he's got, you know, like he just shoots us a lot and the spring's gotten a little weak over time, which is fine because we're Glock armors. We can just swap out a spring for you, man. We'll get it warrantied. It's no big deal. And I call him and let him, Jess calls him. Let's go in order here. Jess calls him and says, hey, your gun is back together. Aaron reinstalled the sights and did a quick safety check on it to make sure that, you know, all the safeties were working. And he noticed that one of them was not working. And he goes, what do you mean it's not working? And she's like, well, you know, he said that your trigger felt really light, like a return spring. And also, you know, the initial trigger press and stuff. And, you know, your safety bar on your trigger's not reactuating. And he goes, well, can you fix that? And my wife goes, well, yeah, Aaron can fix it, but you know, let me put you on the phone with him. So I start talking to him. And I was like, "Did your buddy that did your sights also get in here and do a trigger job?" Yes, he did. I'm like, "Oh, yeah. Well,
he messed that up too.
Yeah, we're gonna need to fix this. You know,
and what was he going for? Like, I know I know with every gun, there's accessories that you can buy for them, and you can. Even handguns, you can add things, subtract things, change things, tinker with them, and you know, make
and
them
kind
very
of improve
unique
them
and
a little
customized.
Bit.
Yeah, do so, all this cool stuff. So with a trigger job,
right?
What are you trying? What's the goal you're trying to accomplish?
So
I didn't know that was part of like.
Oh yeah, we can do trigger jobs on really everything.
Sure.
I've got a few actually waiting at the shop for me. Here this week.
Are you just putting on a better looking trigger?
What so it can be cosmetic where you're actually replacing the physical, you know, trigger itself.
Yeah.
To a metal one or a flat faced one or, you know, whatever you want. There's different styles depending on the gun you have. And then also the reset. So how far after you press the trigger, how far you got to let it out before it resets.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. And then the weight of the springs. So there's generally two springs. One, you know, you press it and you're like, oh, my trigger's 5 pounds or 4 pounds or 3 pounds or whatever it is. And then the one that pushes the trigger back out after you've completed the shot.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I don't know if his buddy just got in there and, had just cut some coils off the spring, which we unfortunately see. The problem.
Because that would.
Well, you're taking coils off, so you're lessening the spring's
right.
pound. But you're shortening it.
So now you don't have to put as much pressure on the trigger before firing it?
To press it,
yeah.
Right, or for the return. The problem is now the spring is shorter. So, you know, when you shorten a spring, you're not getting that full return.
Sure.
So, you know, that's fine. If you want to go from a 7-pound spring to a 4-pound spring, you buy the 4-pound spring.
So it's the same spring that...
The same spring overall length is important. So cutting 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 coils out of your spring is not the way to do it because it's still the same poundage.
Right.
It's just not resetting it necessarily
right.
the full length.
So it may be easy to pull. It may be easier to pull the trigger, but it's not going to
reset
as quickly.
Or all the way. So
or
like
all
his,
the way, yeah.
his like his safety wasn't engaging.
Gotcha.
So I'm thinking that's what his buddy did.
Yeah.
You know, is his buddy got in there now.
So his goal was to not to have to put as much pressure on the trigger to fire it.
Right.
Which accomplishes what?
So it can increase speed.
Okay.
Because obviously it's less pressure.
Thinking, okay, so that will make it
a little quicker,
rapid fire.
Yeah, a little quicker on the put down bullet down range part.
Right.
And then
it seems very. I mean, I get it.
The other part is
I get it, but it
increases
okay.
accuracy.
Okay. There we go.
You know, you think about like a revolver, right? Mm-hmm. And there's very few people that I know that shoot revolvers well. Mm-hmm. Okay. They shoot them, but they're not like my 1911 at 25 yards where I'm touching bullet holes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then there's people that, you know, have shot a revolver for a very long time and they've manipulated the trigger over and over again. So they're able to shoot it just as well, you know, as a semi-auto. But it increases accuracy is what it is. And I've got revolvers that I carry and I've got semi-autos that I carry and, you know, kind of everything and anywhere in between, whether it's a 1911 or a Glock or a mini revolver to a GP100, which is a full-size deal.
Why would the pressure you have to apply to the trigger to fire the gun have any effect on the accuracy?
So when you're pressing the trigger, you're gonna shake a little bit because
the harder it is to pull your trigger,
the more shake
you're gonna get. Okay, yeah. Gotcha.
And that kind of opens up that cone. So think of it like an ice cream cone, right?
Gotcha.
Close.
No, I get it.
Yeah. Okay.
But it seems like. Like a fraction of a percentage that you would be able to increase the firing, like the speed,
the rate, yeah,
and also the accuracy,
right?
Like if you're able to shave a pound off, you know, or 2 pounds off the pressure,
yeah,
I get it, but it seems like a lot of work for incremental gains. But I could maybe
right.
I'm just wrong,
and so. With that being said, maybe it is, but when you've got guys that are shooting competitions where it's this balance between speed and accuracy, so there's like, for those of you that don't shoot any kind of competition, there's like an A box, a B box, and then a C box, and then like a D box,
mm-hmm.
okay, kind of
mm-hmm.
get you an idea. A box is very, very small, and it's in the very, very center of the target,
mm-hmm.
kind of like your bullseye, your 10, your X ring.
Sure.
And then your 9 ring and your 8 ring may be like a B box, and then you kind of go up incrementally
right.
from
right.
there. So, you know, you want to be a B shooter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want Bs, not As, not Cs, Bs.
So making those changes could maybe take you from a C to a B?
Well, from it, you're actually trying to go from an A to a B.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Or, you know, you're maybe a C to a B, but what we would tell people is if you're shooting A's all the time, you need to speed up. You need to shoot faster, right? Because it's a balance between your
yeah.
speed, which is time,
right.
and accuracy.
Right.
And that's how you get your score. So you want to be a B box shooter. If you get some A's in there, that's fine too. But you want to be shooting a lot of B's because you're going to shoot faster. You're going to get the stage done quicker, and that's
gotcha.
Going to increase your overall score.
Gotcha.
So it's kind of a balance. Now, when you get into CMP, because I shoot civilian marksmanship program too, CMP is kind of an interesting deal. And we actually got to get our friends from Owensville Gun Club, M1s for Vets, and Tony and Miller and all those guys. So... they're a great group, and they take vets that have been combat disabled, and they get them back into the shooting sports to get that camaraderie back.
Mm-hmm.
And it's there's some healing that goes on when you see it. It may
yeah.
sound really weird, but it is one of those deals.
Yeah, no, it sounds
so,
like it.
It's a lot of fun. So it might be something maybe we go out and we do on a Sunday or a Saturday when they have a match. I've got a grand, M1 grand you can borrow. It'll be an experience for you.
How about in?
What's neat is they do it. It's like a military style, like Camp Perry style competition shooting, and you get so many rounds to sight your gun in and get it zeroed, and then you have slow fire, which is one round every minute for 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go a little quicker, it's fine, but you can't go over that 10-minute mark. Then you have your rapid fire, and then you have your standing, and you know, part of this is prone, the rapid fire and the 10 for your accuracy are prone. But it's a neat deal because it's just a kind of a different facet of competition. It's slow and deliberate, and then you go a little fast, and then USPSA is, you know, you got a gun on your belt and you're going to town.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting into October. Oh man,
Glocktober.
Yeah, Glocktober, and stuff is going to start winding down. So if we're going to do that, I'll have to find out when the next match is. Otherwise, we'll probably have to wait until March or April next year.
Right now, is the big desire for hunting rifles because of deer season?
Yep. We're starting to see that. Turkey season's going on, so we've been selling some 12 gauges and appropriate ammo. So really, the shop's been hopping. We've been getting sight installs. I went out the other day and I sighted in 3 guns.
Mm-hmm.
And I did a little YouTube deal on that, just talking about, hey, this is the target I use, and you can have us come in and mount your optic. And when we mount it, I put it in my sled, we level your gun, we level your optic, and then we torque everything down to spec. That is by far that I see regularly that is not done. There's like, it's hand tight, that's good. Well, then when you start shooting your gun, the screws start working their way out, and your scope starts moving on you.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you're going to go look at that deer through that optic, and then you shoot, and you're like, why didn't he go down? I know this is right on, then you realize your scope's loose.
Mm.
So we have an actual torque wrench. It's called the fat wrench is what it is, and back. And I look up what you got, and I follow the direction. I torque it down right to spec. And then I've never had one come back loose in all years I've been doing it.
I know.
And then I've got a bore sighter, so then I bore sight it for you. And then you can go to the range and shoot it if you want to. You'll be on paper somewhere at 100 yards. And
right.
Then, or I can go and shoot it for you. So I had a guy, I did a 300 Win Mag, a 300 Winchester short mag, and a 270. And I was like, man, this 270 is pretty sweet. Like, I wasn't a big fan of the 300 Win Mag or the 300 Winchester short mag. I got a 338 Lapua, so I mean, I got a big Magnum caliber rifle, but that 270 was a round I'd never shot before.
Right,
so.
All right, we need to take a quick break, but we got plenty more to go, including your questions coming up, so don't go anywhere. You are listening to Second Amendment Radio on FM News Talk 97.1.
Yeah. Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio on 97.1 FM News Talk.
There you go.
So KFTK St. Louis. All right, so
St. Louis.
Hey,
I love that part.
You got to do the call letters, man. That's where it's at. So like my favorite part of driving alone and driving or flying, because I'm a pilot too.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm flying, I have my headset on, and I'll take my boom mic and I'll put it up like above my head, mm-hmm. and I will just start singing like crazy, and I just, nobody's up there, nobody can hear me,
right.
But I don't want to hear myself in my headset, and, kind of drives me up a wall, but I'll be rocking out. It's pretty fun.
I've been in, a friend of mine's a helicopter pilot.
Yeah,
and
I think we talked about that.
Yep. And
TJ?
I love the sound of the headphones.
Yeah.
When you're, it's got that very distinct.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
We're in a plane or we're in a helicopter, like sound, like.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Like I was geeking out just like saying stuff just to hear my voice and hear the other people.
It's funny. It's like you can put that boom mic in front of your mouth too and go like big with your mouth.
Right.
And you hear wow. So I used to do that to my dad all the time when I was little, because I'm a third generation pilot. So I used to do that to my old man. And
that's great.
He was like, Where is that coming from? Did I leave it? Like, he's just messing with stuff, And he looks over at me, and I'm just sitting there. I'm probably like 9 or 10,
And you're just screwing with him.
Yeah, I was just doing it. I didn't realize I was messing with him. And he's like, "What is that?" And I was like, "I thought it was cool. I didn't realize you could hear it."
So
now I realize you can hear everything on the airplane.
Right.
So everybody hears it.
Right. Just to finish a quick thought.
Right.
On YouTube, you can fall down a rabbit hole on any topic, any subject,
absolutely,
whatever. I highly recommend going and checking out pilots arguing with air traffic controllers.
Yes.
It's hilarious. It can be hilarious.
Yeah, there was a guy in New York. I forget his name. I think his name was Steve. He was a air traffic controller in New York, and he would give these pilots a hard time, and I would just sit there and listen to him, like LaGuardia Steve, I think is what it was. Oh man, I would just sit there and just die laughing.
It's hilarious.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
So go check that out.
Yeah.
We were talking last segment about hunting season is upon us. Bow hunting is
bow's going on now.
Yeah, it started
right now, and opening day of turkey is, I think, October 1st.
Yeah.
I'm not a turkey hunter.
Yep.
I've wanted to kill some turkeys, but I never hear them in the woods when I'm walking around in October, but I hear them, man, when I'm out hunting for deer.
Right.
I'm
of course.
You're just like
right.
10 days out of season.
Right.
11 days out of season.
Yeah. Where were you last week?
Right.
Where
squirrels,
you're talking about people coming in and and upgrading their rifles and, and you know, to get ready for bow season, or for get ready for deer season.
Yeah, deer. And squirrel's a big thing, too, rabbit, squirrel.
I had a question.
That's wrapping up, too.
I had a question. We always ask for your questions on my Twitter, at TonyColombo971, on the Southern Armory Facebook page or the Second Amendment Radio Facebook page.
Yep.
Send your questions in. We try to answer everybody's question online when they ask us, but also answer the questions on the air for everyone to hear. One of the questions that I got was, what can be an expected price to pay for a good scope?
Ooh. All right. Sky's the limit.
Yeah.
Depends on, this is loaded, but depends on how far you want to shoot, what the clarity is, and how much light gathering power you want. Okay. Good, mean, budget, $300 to $400 with rings.
Yeah.
That, you know, that'll get you a good optic, and a good set of rings.
Yeah,
you know, that's
a ring.
Rings. So you gotta have a base you put on the rifle.
The rings are what attaches to the scope.
And then
you
go from the rings to the base to the rings, and then the scope goes in the rings.
So it's two separate parts, really. The scope and the rings.
Technically, there'd be three.
Okay,
depending on the gun you have.
Pay for each one individually.
Mm-hmm. So you have a rail that you put on. Some guns already have it kind of milled in, so you don't need to worry about that. Mm-hmm. And then the rings just attach directly to it. And then others, you have the rail with the rings, and then the optic.
Mm-hmm. But, you guys,
$300 to $400. If you're going to install it yourself, that's great. Again, pay attention to the torque spec. That's the biggest thing that I see. And then I've had people come in and go, I just can't get it level. And I go back, throw it in my bench, and put a level on it, and level it.
I know you guys carry, obviously, guns, but also tasers and stun guns,
pepper spray,
and all that. Yeah, all that stuff. Do you carry a lot of other accessories when it comes to, you know, that are for hunters, and then also any archery stuff?
So one thing that I suggest is, in the off season when you're shooting, dope your gun. Okay, not like smoke dope and then go shoot your gun. Dope. Data on previous engagements is what
I thought
dope
you meant. Like
for.
Make it look cool, like make it look dope.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Man, that's dope in your gun.
You could make your gun look cool.
Yeah.
I was actually thinking about doing one of my bolt guns, making it look cool. But it's another conversation.
That's
for
not doping
time.
Your gun though.
No. Okay. So doping your gun is kind of knowing where it's going to shoot.
Mm-hmm.
When I say knowing where it's going to shoot is, you know, is it going to be high at 25 yards? Is it going to be low at 300 yards, and where? Okay, so it's going to be, okay, we're going to be 5 inches high at 25 yards. We're going to be low 2 inches at 300, which is actually one of my guns.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically what I do is from 100 to 300 and change, I just aim right at it, dead center. And whatever it is, I'm going to hit within, you know, probably a 6-inch, you know, line. You know, it'd either be 3-4 inches high or a couple inches low. Mm-hmm. Either way, it's going to be, I'm going to kill it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you've never done that before, get a notepad, and then we made them. We have it's called Write in the Rain. So it's paper that's waterproof, believe it or not, and you can write on it, and then it can get wet. You can still write on it.
That's cool.
And you can tape that right on the stock of your gun, and you will know. You can look it up. You can hit it with a laser rangefinder and say, that deer is at 250 yards.
Mm-hmm.
And look at the side of your gun at 250 yards, I'm a half inch low.
Yeah.
Or I'm a half inch high.
Yeah.
You just aim at it. Because I zero at 200 personally.
Right. Okay.
And it's hard to do because most ranges around here are 100 yards. But if you've got a little bit of property, or buddy with a little bit of property, or you know somebody at a particular gun club where they're opening a 400 yard range, then you know you can get your gun out. And that's, I think my next step will probably be zeroing at 300 or 400 yards on my bolt gun.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
but every gun is different, right? I mean,
yeah.
Like,
so ballistics is different between caliber. So, you know, somebody's shooting a .223 versus a .308 versus a .270 versus a .300 Win Mag or .338 Lapua. They're all going to zero at a different spot. And that plus or minus, okay, the elevation, either high or low, is going to vary. It's varying because of A, weight of bullet, and B, speed and gravity is a constant.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then some of the bases you can get can add in some degrees of correction for you. Those are, that you're getting into more of the Magnum stuff, guys shooting, you know, 800, 1200 yards. You're going to have those, like my 3.38 Lapua is set up with like 20 or 25 degrees of correction in it. So,
so every gun is different.
Uh-huh.
And so going out and learning what your gun, how your gun fires.
Fundamental.
Yeah.
You know, and the nice thing is, you know, the fundamentals are the same, right? So you're going to practice your breathing and you're going to practice good trigger control and good follow through and sight alignment and sight picture. All that stuff's going to be the same, whether it's a handgun with iron sights or even a little red dot, because we're putting those on handguns now, or your AR, your modern sporting rifle, MSR. That was a term I never heard. MSR. I'm like, MSR? Like, what is this MSR? And we looked it up, and I was like, modern sporting rifle. Okay, never heard that before. All right. So, well, I don't know if it's really modern. Stoner made it back in the whatever. Okay. You know, Kalashnikov made it in the 40s, whatever. But yeah, modern sporting rifle. So if you're using a modern sporting rifle or a traditional, you know, hunting rifle or a shotgun,
right,
you're using all those fundamentals. You absolutely are. So you can practice those from gun to gun to gun. So you're going to go turkey hunting, you're going to use a 12 gauge. Great. If you're going to go rabbit hunting or squirrel hunting, you're probably going to use a 20, maybe a 16. I personally use a 22 long rifle. And I like using a revolver actually on squirrel and rabbit. I like the challenge, you know,
right.
you can kill it with a scoped rifle.
Right.
But, you know, being at 20, 25 yards away and taking it with a handgun,
yeah,
it's kind of cool and it's kind of fun, you know.
And we talked about this with Tim Shelsvik from the Thinking Woodsman podcast and Drury Outdoors Deercast.
All right, if he's listening, listen, no more alerts at 2 and 3 in the morning.
Oh, yeah, they're sending me.
Like, I was like, my phone goes off. I look, I'm like, what is going on? I'm like, Deercast. I'm like,
yeah.
I need to email him and tell him.
Yeah, Drury Outdoors 100% Wild podcast, and they have the Deercast app.
Yeah, yeah, which is cool.
Right.
So I've been liking the app. I just didn't. The only thing I don't like is the alerts. In the wee hours or late. You know, I'm lucky my phone's on silent after 10. So
he was on the show last week, and we were talking about you're talking about hunting smaller game with a handgun, but there's a new sort of thing picking up where people are hunting deer with
handguns.
And is that always existed, or is that something that's becoming popular now?
Well, it opens up another season for you. And
it's a separate season.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
So you can't hunt deer with a handgun during rifle season?
You know, that would be a Thinking Woodsman question.
Okay,
I think you can
a rifle during handgun season.
I think you can use a handgun during rifle season,
but
you have to use a rifle, you know, firearms tag.
Yes.
And you could bow hunt during rifle season too, but you have to use a firearms tag. I know that for sure.
Right. I bet it's the same. Yeah.
And I'm sure it'd be one of the same. But when you get into alternative means, okay, and I had one guy in the shop the other day, and he was kind of interesting because, I'm good at reading people. And I'm like, I think this dude's lying to me. He was like, I had a katana. Isn't that like one of those Japanese fighting swords or whatever? And he goes, I was in a tree and I leaped down.
She's also one of the DC superhero girls.
Okay. Anyway, he's in a tree. He leaps down, swoops with his katana and chops the deer's head off. And that's how he got his kill. And I'm like, I don't know if I believe this.
Like a ninja?
Yeah. I'm like,
He said he ninja'd the deer?
Yeah. I don't believe it. It was hard. And it was a hard one
to
swallow.
Did you hear that, Chad? Swooped out of the tree.
Yeah.
With a sword.
And decapitated the deer.
Decapitated.
I was like,
deer.
Dude, I'm not. I didn't
was
say
it
that.
Was it a lightsaber?
I don't know.
How did he get?
I just was
that's a lot of meat to cut through.
Right. I was like, that's an interesting story. And then I was like, well, I've got guns to work on and back. I just went back and back, started finishing up guns. I was like, I'm not going to call this dude out. I mean, now I'm calling him out, but like, hopefully he doesn't listen. I was like, I don't think so. I do not think so.
I hope he
whatsoever.
Is listening, because I want you to set up a camera in the woods. Because if you could
just
video,
show me the photo.
If you could
show me the photo,
of a sliced head.
Because it's got to be clean.
Oh, if you're swooping
bone,
on a,
I don't know.
Like I'm totally picturing him in just one motion, like as he's landing, and then you know,
Shing.
Like the superhero like landing, like.
For those of you that can't tell, like, Tony is like standing up now.
And like your fist is on the ground and your sword is like just sitting there. And then you look up and the deer is still in one piece. And then the head slides off.
I should have videotaped this and posted it on Second Amendment Radio.
But listen, listen, I hope this guy's... I'm telling you this. If you can video yourself swooping out of a tree and decapitating a deer with a sword...
I'll put it on Second Amendment Radio and Southern Armory. It'll go viral.
It's going viral. Are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. It's going to the top of the charts. It's going to be the biggest YouTube video of all times.
Yep.
And you're going to make a whole lot of money.
I don't know about a whole lot of money, but...
I don't know. You get, you know, we're talking about millions of downloads on this, baby.
We're talking about YouTube that won't let you monetize gun stuff.
So, this isn't a gun. This is
it's
ninja.
A sword. It's still a weapon.
He's ninjaing the deer.
Dude, I'm with you. I just don't believe it.
I don't either, but I'm telling you.
I just smiled at him. That's a neat story.
I'm telling you, though,
I got guns to fix.
He videos that thing, and he is set for life.
Right.
He's going on a speaking tour.
Mm-hmm.
He's going on talk shows.
You know,
he's coming on Second Amendment Radio
Let's just say this. How many years did we say a bow hunter waits before he gets a deer with a bow? Like 3 years?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I'm just saying. Like, I bet that guy was in that woods for 10 years.
Have you ever had a deer walk directly under you in a deer stand?
In a ladder stand, yes.
So you could have.
Dude, that's like 15 feet.
I was going to say, how high up are you?
It's like 15 feet. I'm not going to jump down on that. And you're not going to shoot down on him either.
Right.
You know, because it's not a.
So that's
I'm
you,
sure.
Well,
I'm
that's
sure
when you do this. That's when you go, he's right underneath this. And you put the gun down and you unsheath the sword.
Right.
And people are like, oh, it's going down.
Yeah.
And Aaron's about to ninja this deer.
And then you're attached in with a strap, so you're just going to jump out and you're going to like jolt when you, I don't know, man.
If that happened, please send the video.
Listen, I don't think so. Anyway.
We got to go.
Second Amendment Radio, 97.1 FM News Talk.
We'll be back in a second. Don't
KFTK,
go anywhere.
St. Louis.
It's Second Amendment Radio, just like Aaron said. See you in a sec. Well, this has become my favorite episode of Second Amendment Radio of all time.
This is going to be like on the greatest hits right here, that last segment.
We're talking about ninjing a deer. I just can't believe this happened.
The best part, I think, was when we were on break and you were like reenacting it. And you're like, and then after the deer's head falls off, you hear in the sky... Fatality.
Yeah, right, Jim?
Like, right off Mortal Kombat.
Fatality.
Yeah.
Well, that takes me back to Sega and early PlayStation days. Anyway.
The way I described it, Chad, isn't that exactly how you see it in your... when you visualize this guy...
Perfect. I'm sure if that happened, it wasn't that cool. I'm sure there was a lot of blood.
I'm sure it didn't happen.
Yeah, I am too, but I'm just saying, like, give the guy the benefit of the doubt.
So, if you're just joining us, we're talking about the different seasons for
alternative means,
hunting,
yeah.
And we're talking about alternative means season. And somebody who claimed to swoop out of a tree like a ninja with a sword,
katana, yeah,
and decapitate the deer in one motion as he swooped out of the tree like a ninja. And that is the all-time alternative means.
That's the winner.
That's the all-time winner for alternative means kills.
Show me your alternative means kill. And there's just a dude with a sword with a decapitated deer. Sitting here with my freaking dirty, hairy 44 mag.
And
what
started this conversation was we're talking about the
different deer season,
fad of... Now,
it's not
a
fad.
Of hunting deers with a handgun.
It's not a fad, I don't think. It's been going on for a while,
but I feel like...
It's gaining popularity.
It's gaining popularity because I hear more and more people talking about
it. Right, and so what's going on is you have your bow season. Everybody's like, if you start becoming a bow hunter, man, your season's like 3 months long or 4 months long or however long it is. It starts in like September. I think it ends in December, January. So, you know, you got a lot of time to bow hunt, right? I'm not particularly a bow hunter because I dislocated my shoulder and I can't pull back, you know, 80 pounds of compound, and recurve is kind of a challenge, but I'm getting a little bit stronger, but I still get the popping and cracking. So I've never been big into bow. I did get a crossbow exemption back when that existed. Now everybody can do it, which is great, especially for, you know, kids or elderly that just you know, couldn't, they're kind of in the same boat as me, or the injured that couldn't just do it. And so now you can get a crossbow where you can like pull your string back and kind of lock it. And it's kind of like using a rifle, mm-hmm. For lack of a better term.
Right.
Then you had your rifle season, which would in November, which would be antlered. So you know you're going after them with the antlers. Then there's a December season where it's antlerless. But then then you use a rifle for that. There's a black powder season, and there's an alternative means. So we're really talking about alternative means,
yeah.
Which is, you know, handguns. And so we would get people that would come in, and they would use like 10-millimeter handguns. So a Glock or a 1911, or they'd get a revolver, or like a 357 Magnum, or 44 Mag, or 41 Special, or 41
right.
Mag, and they just kind of go on and on. And so I have a 44 Mag.
Mm-hmm.
That is my big handgun,
mm-hmm.
and that's kind of what I might go hunt with, you know, alternative, you know, season, because the property we have is small enough I could facilitate some handgun shots, you know, relatively safely.
What's more important if you're trying to hunt that way with the handgun, you're going to try this out for yourself? Is it a gun that shoots a long way, or do you need to have a gun that holds the caliber the size of ammunition that you need to take down.
This is Aaron's,
an animal.
I'm sure that, you know, our good friend Thinking Wisdom would have a different opinion.
Sure, and every hunter's got their own.
Right, it's like Hondas. Everybody's got one.
Right.
Or no, wait a minute. It's like belly buttons. There you go. Sorry. Everybody, I think, pretty much does have a Honda. Not this guy. I like Mopar, no car. But anyway, and my wife's a Ford lady. I don't get it.
All right.
How we got together. But anyway. I'm just saying, it's important stuff here. Like, what are we going to buy for a vehicle?
Ammunition or accuracy?
All right, both.
Yeah?
Yeah, you got to go both here. So, in my opinion is you want a Magnum-calibered revolver.
Mm-hmm.
357 Mag, I think you're...
I think you mentioned the Judge in this show.
We've talked about it, but the Judge would probably not be a choice for me.
It would not.
No, because it's...
Because the Judge is a handgun revolver that...
Well, it's a revolver.
That can fire...
410 shotgun shells
shotgun
or 45
shells.
Long Colt. Generally, the barrels are real short on them. They're not long.
Right.
And I'm not a huge fan of them.
I mean,
for hunting, I wouldn't be a huge fan of them. I'm sure that there's a variant out there that's like 6 inch. I know there's a longer barrel, you know,
they
out
seem
there.
Really cool, but they seem... Like kind of gimmicky,
yeah.
Kind of a novelty.
Novelty, I think. It's not gimmicky necessarily, but a novelty, yeah. And I think the novelty
is... It's a revolver that shoots shotgun shells.
Yeah, that you can shoot shotgun shells.
So it looks freaking cool because it's got this, you know... It's
huge cylinder, yeah.
Yeah, it's got the huge cylinder in the middle, and it's a big weapon. And
I like the Smith & Wesson Governor, which does the same thing. And the reason I like the Governor is because you can shoot 45 ACP out of it, which drops your ammunition cost, because now you don't have to shoot 410 shotgun shells, which are expensive, or you don't have to shoot 45 long Colt, which is expensive.
Right.
But if you're going to get into a revolver and you want Magnum power, because mind you, that's not a Magnum revolver,
mm-hmm.
by no stretch of the imagination, 357 Magnum would be what I would get into. I'd be looking for a 6-inch barrel with adjustable sights, and then you can really dial it in, and you need to be able to hit a pie plate at 25 yards. Okay,
mm-hmm.
And I say a pie plate, you know, we're talking like a 6-inch round piece of steel.
Yeah.
If you can't hit that, you have no business. This is my opinion now.
Mm-hmm.
You have no business going out and trying to shoot a deer. It's not going to be a good clean kill,
mm-hmm.
you know. Mm-hmm. And you need to practice. I can clear a pie plate with my 44 mag, with 44 specials and 44 mag in it at 25 yards. Something I do at the gun club regularly. And then, so that's what I would, you know, that's what I would choose is a 44 Magnum with a 6-inch barrel, just because you're going to get good power, or 8-inch barrel. I think 6-inch is good. 4-inch, you're flirting, you know, with it. I think 4-inch, you're getting a little long. Definitely easier to conceal or, you know, carry. Trying to think what else. 357 Magnum, yes. 327 Fed Mag, maybe. You know, again, you know, these are kind of, want to say, compromise calibers, but they're kind mm-hmm. of compromise calibers because they're not a rifle round. You're not going to be able to shoot the thing one time and it go right down. You're going to shoot it and it's going to run on you a little bit. And then you're going to kind of wait for it to bleed out. So shot placement is very, very important, which is why I'm talking about the 6-inch pie plate. If you cannot, you know, visualize on a deer where you need to hit and get within 6 inches of that spot, You know, I don't know if I would be doing it. And, you know, you're not going to get a deer that's necessarily that close. Now, I'm using iron sights too, kind of old school, I guess. I believe in iron sights.
Mm-hmm.
Even on my ARs, I've got ARs with iron sights, and I go out and I shoot them. And red dots are fun, don't get me wrong. But, you know, I like shooting iron sights. When I go out and shoot my M1 Grand or my O3 Springfield, those, again, iron sights, you know. But you need to be able to hit what you're aiming at.
What is another example of an alternative means weapon?
Outside of the katana.
Outside of the sword. Freaking sword.
I know, and I'm just never going to get over this.
Never.
Like, something I'm going to carry forever. I can't get it, man. Like, are you kidding me? Semi-automatic handgun.
Got to video that, man.
Yeah, a semi-automatic handgun. I'm sure there's people out there screaming 454 Casull. Mm-hmm. And, you know, 500 Smith & Wesson. And, yeah, those are good deer rounds, too. You know, I'm just
But alternative means are always going to be firearms. It's not going to be, like, swords or knives, slingshots.
Generally, it's going to be, or javelin.
Yeah.
You know, javelin or slingshot. And I'm sure those guys are out there. But, yeah, normally when we talk alternative means, we're talking handgun.
Gotcha.
Either revolver or semi-auto. So when you get into the semi-auto realm, you're talking 10 mil. That would probably be a real good one. Don't get me wrong, a 9mm would probably do it too.
Mm-hmm.
You want to check the caliber restrictions on there for speed and power.
Mm-hmm.
Then you probably get into maybe a 42, but 10mm is by far really popular when you get into the alternative means.
Before we go, classes at Southern Armory,
yes.
When's the next one's coming up?
Tomorrow, technically. We got a CCW class, so you can
somebody
show up.
Walk out and
yeah,
be there.
You can walk in.
Gotcha.
I need to be there at 7:45.
Okay.
And sharp.
Right.
Maybe closer to that 7:40 mark because you got some paperwork to fill out.
Right.
Next one after that is October 20th. Let me pull out the calendar and look here.
Sure.
Sorry.
That's all right.
20th, October 20th, CCW class. Again, you can register, come in store, mention Second Member Radio. I'm sure Jessica will hook you up. Jessica, hook them up. Or Brad, tell Jessica to hook them up. And then the 21st, we have an advanced class. Classes are really fun. Those are by far my favorite one to teach because we're teaching you to draw from a holster. We're teaching you to engage targets at different distances. And we're teaching you different shooting positions. We're teaching you about malfunctions, stovepipes, and double feeds, and ferret extracts, and all this other cool stuff. And that's pretty much it. And then we are kind of in the works on like an armors class. We've been talking about that a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Putting on like a, hey, this is an AR-15 and this is how you break it down and this is how you service it and that kind of stuff. And then maybe like 1911. And then obviously we have Glock certified armors and also M&P for Smith & Wesson certified armors in-house as well. So kind of look forward to those classes coming. I think Jessica's bringing back the Women's Introduction to Self-Defense class.
Oh, that's a great idea.
And that class kind of covers, you know, I don't really want to carry a gun, but what are my other options to protect myself? And she goes through those, whether it's a stun gun, a taser, pepper spray. You know, that's something she kind of goes through and she shows you all the different stuff that you can use.
Very good.
I think is an awesome, awesome class. And it gets them kind of into the realm of they realize use of not only use of force, but escalation of force.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, just because somebody's hitting you doesn't mean you can use a handgun. You got to use pepper spray.
Southern Armory on Facebook, the Second Amendment Radio page on Facebook. Send your questions. You can always send them to me on Twitter at TonyColombo971 as well.
And Glocktober's coming up, so come in 9901 Watson Road, 1 mile east of 270-44 and SouthernArmory.com.
That's SouthernArmory.com.
Thanks for tuning in.
SouthernArmory.com.
Now he's catching
up. Chad's in there now. He's got it. He's in there.
And thanks for tuning in to Second Amendment Radio. This is by far the highlight of my week.
That's
coming
great.
In and just answering questions and talking.
Yeah.
And I love talking to the folks that are sending us messages.
Yeah, keep sending those questions. And thanks for listening. We will be here again with you next Saturday at 3 o'clock. For Aaron Tarlow and Chad Ellis, I'm Tony Colombo. This has been Second Amendment Radio. We'll see you next week. Have a great weekend.